And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's now time for a theater review with our theater critic, Jaylen Russett. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about The Comedy of Errors. It's down in Annapolis at the Annapolis Shakespeare Company. It's not unusual for directors to sort of change the settings or, you know, kind of update Shakespeare's plays, especially for the comedies. And this one certainly is a comedy. Did they do that in this case?
Oh, yes, they did, Tom. This is a steampunk interpretation.
Steampunk?
Let me tell you what that is.
Never heard of it.
It's a subgenre of science fiction that features 19th century steam-powered technology. You notice this as soon as you walk into the theater. The back wall has a giant clock on it, and the back wall of the stage, and you can see the clock works inside the clock. Otherwise, there's not a whole lot of technology, but the program says that this production is set in 1890 Paris and beyond. And beyond figures in because one of the main props is a remote control. And various characters use this control to freeze a frame and then deliver a soliloquy. At one point, the remote control gets tossed around by the actors like a hot potato, and it turns into a brawl. The brawl also includes some updates. There's can-can music. There's a kick line. There's a spoof of Les Mis, which happens to be at the Hippodrome right now. Another scene has Irish music and dancing. There's some ragtime. I think I caught a bit of a tango. There's also a lot of Keystone Cops running around. And basically, this is a very eclectic production.
Boy, it sounds like it.
Oh, it is.
You hear
it
kitchen
is.
Comedies. This is like the kitchen sink comedies because it's everything but the kitchen sink is thrown in.
It is. That's absolutely true. And you may think, well, how do they get away with this? Well, the director is Sally Boyette, who's the artistic director of Annapolis Shakespeare. And Shakespeare's comedies are not specifically tied to a particular period of time. This one is based primarily on a Roman play, an ancient Roman play by Plautus. In Shakespeare's day, that would have been done in Elizabethan dress. This particular play is very malleable. I've seen it done in a circus setting. I've seen it done as a Western. I've seen it done with the Flying Karamazov brothers. And of course, I'm sure you know, Rodgers and Hart turned it into a Broadway musical, Boys from Syracuse. And there's another justification for all these kind of imaginative leaps. The play includes several references to witches and sorcerers, and I have an example of one of these references. This one comes early on. The character of Antipholus of Syracuse has landed in Ephesus. He is looking for his long-lost identical twin brother, and strange things start happening to him almost immediately. You're going to hear actor Matthew Murray.
They say this town is full of cousinage. As nimble jugglers that deceive the eye, dark working sorcerers that change the mind, soul killing witches that deform the body, disguised cheaters, prating mountebanks, and many such like liberties of sin. If it proves so, I will be gone the sooner.
Matthew Murray in The Comedy of Errors. Nothing like a few soul-killing witches to enliven a show. So you mentioned this is a steampunk motif. So tell us more about the physical production aspect.
Well, the set is designed, co-designed by Sally Boyette, the director, and Donald Hicken of Baltimore School for the Arts fame. He is a resident director at Annapolis Shakespeare. They use some very nifty productions by Joshua McCarrow. The props, in addition to the remote control, include an old-fashioned pump bug sprayer. There's a rubber ducky. There's a toilet plunger. The costumes are by Sandra Spence, and they have this very fanciful Victorian look. I want to tell you a little bit more about the plot. It's all about mistaken identities. The play actually includes two sets of twins.
It's twins, right? Yeah.
And two sets. You have Antipholus of Syracuse and his twin, Antipholus of Ephesus, and you have their twin servants, Dromio of Syracuse and Dromio of Ephesus. The Syracusan twins took their brothers' names out of a feeling of loss or respect or honor, whatever. It adds another layer of sort of comic confusion. Syracusans are banned in Ephesus, and the father of the Antipholus twins shows up. He's arrested. He's given one day to raise his own ransom or be killed. But getting back to how this show looks, and it's one reason I mentioned the father, he comes in dressed as a Victorian explorer, complete with a pith helmet. And at the beginning of the play, when he tells the story of how these infant twins became separated in a shipwreck, he's surrounded by actors in Victorian costumes. The first time we see these actors, they're moving like automatons, more of that steampunk feeling. Then they move around the father, tossing bundles that represent the babies. They're tossing them back and forth. The biggest interpolation that the director has done, however, is that she has added a character, a female mime. And the mime creates sound effects at a Foley table.
Wow, as if Shakespeare didn't have enough characters, she needed to throw another one in?
Yes, and more sound. So you have an actual slapstick. You have a slide whistle, a bicycle horn, a xylophone, and a gong. A lot more stuff.
There you go. So it's about twins. How about the actors playing all these twins? Do they look alike? Do they act alike? Are they convincing as twins?
Well, the Dromios, the servants, really are. They're played by Clay Vanderbeek and Joe Lytus. And they look so much alike when they're in costume and they're wearing these matching caps. I couldn't always tell them apart.
That's a good thing.
Yes, and the similarities also because they have very similar facial expressions and movements. In this production, Sally Boyette, the director, has them occasionally on stage together. We see them both. They don't see each other. At one point, she has them look through an empty picture frame as if they're looking through a mirror. Everybody gets these twins confused. Even the wife of Antipholus of Ephesus mistakes Antipholus of Syracuse for her husband. That's a very comic scene. The actors who play the two Antipholuses, the two Antipholi, I guess, Matthew Murray and Morgan Hooper, they are less similar physically than the Dromios, but they get the job done. I brought you a clip of an early mix-up. Antipholus of Syracuse has given his servant Dromio some gold to put in safekeeping. But when the other Dromio comes along, he has no idea about any gold. This is Matthew Murray and Joe Lytus, and you're also going to hear the mime, the slapstick.
Where is the gold I gave in charge to thee?
To me, sir. Why, you gave no gold to me.
Come on, sir knave, have done your foolishness, and tell me how thou hast disposed thy charge.
My charge was but to fetch you from the mart home to your house, the Phoenix, sir, to dinner. My mistress and her sister stays for you.
Now answer me in what safe place you have bestowed my money, or I shall break that merry sconce of yours that stands on tricks when I am undisposed. Where is the 1,000 marks thou hadst of me?
I have some marks of yours upon my pate, some of my mistress' marks upon my shoulders, but not 1,000 marks between you both. If I should pay your worship those again, perchance you will not bear them patiently.
Beautifully done, but a whole lot of words, that Shakespeare guy, I gotta tell you. Matthew Murray and Joe Lytus, that's the Annapolis Shakespeare production of The Comedy of Errors. So Judy, what about the other performances?
Well, I mentioned the mime. I said before you could hear her. Actually, of course, you could hear the slapstick she was using.
The first mime ever to appear on Midday. We're proud of this moment.
She is played by an actress named Shubhangi Kuchibhatla. Kuchibhatla, and even her name adds whimsy to this. But the whimsy is not just from the sound effect. She has this really sprightly appearance and bearing, and she kind of gives the impression that she's orchestrated everything. It's really charming. I also want to call attention to Charlotte Blacklock, who is very amusing as the sister-in-law of Antipholus of Ephesus. She's clearly an independent woman. So these women, plus their recurring appearances by a character, a mysterious gypsy woman, and you get the impression that while the male characters are acting like fools, they are sharing the stage with some pretty strong women.
By the way, our director and engineer, Luke Spicknall, tells us that we are trying to book Marcel Marceau for next week right here.
See
on
what
Midday.
I inspired.
There you go. So to finish up here, Judy, how about this production of The Comedy of Errors? Do you think there's kind of a deeper meaning in this particular take on it?
Well, Comedy of Errors might sound like our current political situation, but this is one of Shakespeare's earliest and funniest plays. The director, Sally Boyette, has been exploring this steampunk concept for a while. She did an earlier student version in 2012, and it's really just for fun. And Annapolis Shakespeare is definitely having fun with it, and the audience does too.
All right, The Comedy of Errors. It's at the Annapolis Shakespeare Company until the 28th of this month. We've got links to details about all the showtimes and all that stuff at WIPR.org Midday. And we want to also say that the Charm City Fringe Festival starts the 1st of November, and they've got a pop-up event on the 20th of October. So next week, Judy, we're going to talk about something at the Theater Project. What's that?
Yes, this is a production by Rapid Lemon Productions. It's a play called Dirty Pictures, and it's a world premiere by Maryland playwright D.W. Gregory.
All right, sounds like John Waters or something. All right, good to see you. We'll see you next week. Appreciate it.
Good to be here.
We want to thank Bottoms Up Bagels for lunch today. Bottoms Up Bagels is a small batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses inspired by the traditions of bagel making dating back to the 1940s. varieties. They're available at the Waverly and JFX Farmers Markets and online at bottomsupbagels.com. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknall. Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produced the program. Jamila Krempel is WIPR's digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Our interns are Jacob Orlando Took, Micah Middleton, and Morgan Hikaru Ome. Thanks for being with us today. On Monday, coming up Monday, Tony Campbell. He's the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate, running against Democratic incumbent Ben Cardin. I'm Tom Hall. Stay tuned for Reveal. That's on the way right after a break for news at the top of the hour. Have a great weekend.